Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
So I told my team it's time to cancel the Jacksonville, Florida component of the GOP convention. We'll be starting in North Carolina for the Monday, as has always been planned. We were never taking that off. That's remaining as it is. The delegates are going to get together. That's where they do their nomination.
All right, so that's the president saying game over when it comes to the convention, not doing it live. There's been a real shift, and I think it's a good one because of what we're seeing with the hotspots that have bubbled up all across the United States. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, thrilled as always to be here, skippering this ship for 10-plus years. And this is some of the choppiest waters we've actually seen. I've been through it all with many of you, whatever Mother Nature threw at us, but this virus is one wicked you-know-what. Luckily, we hear great things about vaccines, and I know some of the biggest and brightest that are working on this. We've talked about it a lot on this show, talking to scientists and others. I feel confident that despite people who are trying to tell me, well, they don't even have a cure for the common cold, Kate, I get you, I feel you, but I'm going to go with my glasses half full thought on getting a vaccine, right? Because when you get something horrible and the doctor tells you that you've got it, you say, well, what's the cure? What can I do? And when they say nothing, it is obviously when you go into that panic mode. And that's the curveball that we were served up starting in March. And here we are deep into July, and we're seeing some of the states that haven't even gone through the first wave completely, and then there's these conversations about the second wave. All right, so what are the predictions? I'm going to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to kind of do it in reverse. So really, let's get the worst stuff out of the way, right? I like to take my medicine first and then cruise into the other zone. So 146,000 people have died. 4.11 million cases. This is in the United States. 123 million have recovered. That's good. Let's see a bigger number. Worldwide, 632,000 people have died. 8.76 million have recovered. 15.4 million confirmed cases in all. And again, these are confirmed cases, so you know that there's people who slipped through the cracks and they didn't know they had COVID and or some, you know, COVID-19 or some other version of a mutation of the virus. But when we look at hot zones, Texas is a hot zone. Deaths getting closer to 5,000. California, 8,189. Florida, 5,517. And, of course, in the beginning of this thing, our friends listening in the great state of Connecticut, confirmed cases getting closer to 50,000. Deaths, 4,400. Pennsylvania, 7,142. You get the gist. New Jersey, they're still worried. 15,730. And, of course, the worst of the worst, it's not a surprise, our biggest city, New York, deaths 32,270. But so much was concentrated and happened in those areas in the very beginning of this. I think there was kind of a false sense of security in rural places, places that were quotes more out in the open, and even in California, because immediately some precautions were taken, and California's a big state, and there are areas that are hotter than other areas. Now the president is absolutely saying, wear the mask, wear the mask. So the president, some are saying, well, he caved into the reality of what's happened here. I don't care what you want to call it. Caved, decided this was the right way to go based on the information. But I think it's a positive thing, because the mask being politicized, I never understood in the first place. We are an incredible country. There are amazing people in this country. I am proud to be an American, and I've lived in other places and seen what it's like. But from coast to coast and all the places in between, I've had the privilege of living in so many spots, and I, again, couldn't be prouder to be an American. And attacking each other for wearing a mask is ridiculous. And throwing tantrums like a child when you're an adult in these grocery stores is ridiculous and unnecessary and puts everybody at risk. So now let's get beyond this. And this is even, of course, what the president is saying. Mitch McConnell has been saying this for a while now. If everybody masks up, social distance, do all that, we have a better chance to pound this SOB into the ground, because it is a nightmare to be in the middle of this and try to make some of these decisions that you don't think, you think it's innocuous, but it could end up costing someone their life, and it could be somebody that you love. All right, lecture over, because that's not my bag. But we're 100 days in to this election. Crazy to think that, isn't it? To me, it seems as though the 4 years have gone by so quickly. If this president isn't reelected, he'll be the first out of the last four not to be, because the last three have served twice. So the president's efforts now to get reelected are going to take a different form. There's no convention. That means virtual speech, that kind of thing, or in some other ballroom, which most likely that's what it is, and then it's broadcast. But we've got less than 4 months before the election. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with Joe Biden versus President Trump? And what's the fallout economically? To me, and we see this if you go back in history, forget Republican or Democrat, forget any of that for a second, and look at what people vote on. When the economy is pumping and thriving, the promises are there. Ooh, it's good. The stock market's high. You got that 401k, or maybe you don't have a 401k, but you're the king or queen of the side hustle and the money is flowing. You can feed your family. You can pay your bills. You can send your kid to college or not. You can have them work in your business because you actually have a small business that works. Now it's scary. People are losing jobs they thought they would never lose. They're also seeing their businesses slip away, and they're trying to get their footing. So with the economy tanking and unemployment starting to rise up in the wrong direction, more unemployment claims, it makes it tougher for whoever the incumbent is. So these next 4 months are critical for the president, and he knows it. I think it was a very smart decision to not press his luck and continue to say, we're going to jam a place, we're going to do this, we're going to have the convention. And he knows when he does a giant speech, a big rally, that's where he thrives, in front of the crowds. But this was a very, very smart thing to do. In North Carolina, they couldn't guarantee an event. In Charlotte, they couldn't do it. In Jacksonville, it was smart to move in a different direction, a lot safer. What's going on with China spying on us? The consulate in Houston getting shut down, and what about the rest of them? Dana Chung is talking to us next about that from China News. And then we'll speak with Edward Galloway about his book, Wired. Hang in, everybody.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Well, we all watched what happened in Houston the other day and the scramble afterwards to close down the consulate and say, you know, no more. And then the explanations for what was happening with this dumpster fire of documents. Dana Cheng joins us now, senior editor of China News at the Times. Dana, first of all, let me set this scene up a little bit. The U.S., of course, has ordered China to close the Houston consulate by Friday, and this has been described as political provocation by Beijing. And what happened was they were burning papers in trash cans in the building's courtyard. And, of course, the police in Houston were called and they weren't allowed in. And now you even have China threatening to retaliate. So, first of all, what do you know about the documents, the papers, and what happened there?
Well, because that consulate has been involved in spying activity, and of course there are documents they don't want to risk, meaning they don't want the U.S. have a chance to get hold of it.
Right, exactly. So that's why they're saying we're closing, you know, that's why the U.S. immediately said we're closing this down. And of course, going even further, there's the accusations from the U.S. saying, look, you know, you are, this is a pattern of economic espionage and you're trying to steal scientific research. How big is that for the Chinese government to get as much information about our scientific research that they can?
Well, Chinese Communist Party will use all channels to get as much information as possible for its own use. And the way the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, operate is they don't differentiate this is a diplomat and these are the, like a journalist and these are the student organization or Confucius Institute in universities. There's no differentiation. As long as there's a need, they can be armed for, you know, espionage. Well, consulates have always functioned like harboring military personnel and trying to steal intellectual property. They always coordinated this kind of activity. And every unit of those so-called official positions, they have to listen to Communist Party. And this is not just Houston. Houston might be a more centralized place. Every single consulate has that kind of function. So take an example of San Francisco. They just harbored a person FBI wanted. It's a person linked to a military hospital, and she lied about her link, and she came here and tried to get information.
Wow. And that brings me to this point of these other consulates. And like you say, there is no differentiation. It doesn't matter. You can put any label on the person. It doesn't matter. The idea is get as much as you can, really, from the U.S. Do you think that other consulates will be closed and wherever China has its tentacles? And there are a bunch of them in all these big cities. You mentioned one, San Francisco, Chicago, of course, New York, Los Angeles.
Right, and they are all involved in this kind of activity. And maybe they are involved at a different scale, but they are all involved. That's the way Communist Party operate to Chinese. It's no surprise. Of course they are involved. It's really up to the U.S. government how determined they are, whether and how many they want to close down.
Yeah. Do you think the Chinese Communist Party will retaliate against the U.S.? I mean, is this kind of going to be a cold war between the two nations?
Well, they would definitely retaliate.
Wow. So, you know, talking about the whole retaliation thing, here's what's happened. This is what's happened. China ordered the U.S. on Friday to close its consulate in the western city of Chengdu, and it certainly ratchets up the diplomatic conflict. The relations couldn't be any lower between China and the U.S. The Chinese foreign minister appealed to Washington to reverse its wrong decision, is what they said. But anyway, the United States has embassies in Beijing and consulates in five other mainland cities, including in Wuhan, which, of course, is where the coronavirus all started. So now you've got the British embassy asking for a new investigation. That led to the arrest and conviction of somebody who was ultimately sentenced to prison on charges of espionage. And this Houston situation, boom, it was closed within 72 hours. It has to be closed, is what was said on Tuesday. And the allegations are that Chinese agents tried to steal data from facilities, including the Texas A&M medical system. So this is not good. There has to be some pretty solid information. And like I said, the relationship between China and the U.S. couldn't be at its worst point. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, has stepped up his allegations and accusations of technology theft. And in a speech earlier this week, Pompeo said some Chinese students and others come here to steal our intellectual property, which is exactly what I was talking about, and take it back to their country. I mean, it's something that we are very much aware of and on top of, and something that the that the government has been looking into, of course, for a long time. I think it's nothing new that you're going to have spies from other countries, and particularly when you talk about technology. But the Chinese are particularly adept and at this game, and there was an example of what in the world were they doing in Houston, and what were they trying to get away with as quickly as they could. A couple of loose ends to tie up here worth throwing in, you know, during this segment at the top of the show, including the fact that we talked a lot about, sports-wise, the Washington Redskins, so no name. The NFL franchise, you ready for this, decided to go by Washington Football Team because they didn't come up with anything else they liked. A rebrand can take a while. They decided, okay, so let's just call it Washington Football Team. It's just funny to me to think. And now it's the Washington Football Team versus the Dallas Cowboys. But that's the deal, and they start training camp next week. They needed to move swiftly to something, and that was the something that they came up with. Whether we're going to see the NFL or not, who knows. Opening day in baseball did happen. So for the Nationals and the Yankees started things off. Dr. Anthony Fauci threw out the first pitch. No crowds, of course, because there's not going to be any crowds at any of these stadiums. But the Yankees slid by the Nationals quite easily. 4-1, the final score in that one. And the Dodgers just slammed San Francisco 8-1. Those were the two games to start off this shortened season of 60 games. So strange when you think about normally 162 games. Wow. All right, something else to throw into the pot here is with the virus and with the fact that now some states are seeing the increase with the testing of cases, you're also starting to see that more people are masking up. And there's not as much of a tug of war, one, because the president is certainly touting that. Other Republicans are, and of course, many other people are doing the same thing. But it's interesting to see what has happened to some of these governors who were kind of wishy-washy, not kind of, like Ron DeSantis. He, you know, one day heard one thing, the next day heard another thing. So Floridians disapprove of DeSantis with his coronavirus response in this recent survey. 57% to 38%. What a big shift in that Quinnipiac University poll. They disapprove of his action, and he actually had pretty decent numbers at one point. So many thought that DeSantis should have issued a stay-at-home order when Florida became the state with the most new daily cases in the country, a seven-day average of more than 10,000 since July 13th. The average has remained steady below 11,000 for the past 3 days. So let's hope that the Sunshine State bounces back in a very big way. And I think DeSantis has certainly pushed, okay, testing. And he said and suggests that he thinks some of the numbers are inflated. Hang with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Youngevity. TeamGaday.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
3 out of 4 Americans, including a majority of Republicans, favor requiring people to wear face coverings while outside their homes, according to a new poll done by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs. This also reflects a fresh alarm over spiking coronavirus cases and a growing embrace of government advice intended to safeguard public health. Also, about 2/3 of Americans disapprove of how President Donald Trump is handling the outbreak, an unwelcome sign for the White House in an election year. Former Pennsylvania Democratic Representative Ozzie Myers has now been charged with bribing election officials to add votes during primary elections to candidates he favored or who paid him as a campaign consultant, according to the Justice Department. Myers, age 77, served 2 terms in Congress in 1977 to 1990. He bribed the top election official in South Philadelphia's 39th Ward during primaries between 2014 and 2016. This is USA Radio News. The Trump administration said that it is revoking an Obama-era housing regulation designed to eliminate racial disparities in the suburbs, a move that fair housing advocates are saying is an election year stunt designed to manipulate the fears of white voters. In a tweet, President Trump said, "Biden will destroy your neighborhood and your American dream, and I will preserve it and make it even better." The president has characterized the 2015 housing regulation as a threat to the suburban way of life that will bring about more crime and lower housing prices. The Justice Department's internal watchdog announced that it is investigating the use of force by the department's law enforcement personnel against the numerous protesters in Portland and will examine the officers' response to civil unrest in Washington, D.C., including the clearing of demonstrators from a park in front of the White House last month. Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz said the investigation comes from congressional requests as well as complaints his office received and referrals from Oregon's top federal prosecutors. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
The name of the game. The name of the game. The name of the game. The name of the game.
Ole, 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 ole. We are the champions. We are the champions. Ole, 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 ole. We are the champions. We are the champions. Ole, ole, ole.
Of course, many of you know that I've worked in sports. I used to fly with the Dallas Cowboys, and I worked in WFAN and a big station, the biggest sports station in the U.S., and I certainly like athletics and have covered many, many, many athletes. So a novel comes along called Wired, and it's by Edward Galloway, and he's in our virtual room right now, and we're going to talk about it. And he talks about youth athletes is basically in this novel's wrapped up in all of this. So it's so interesting. What happens when a youth athlete faces adversity? It's the fight against it that defines the athlete. And oh my gosh, I so agree with that. Edward, thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
So talk about your book. What drove you to write this book?
I think it's the youth that really drove me to write the book. I've actually been coaching myself youth sports with various organizations for like the past 15, 18 years now. And you get to see different sides of these athletes. You get to see the ones that are fortunate, but then you get to see the ones that are less fortunate and have these struggles and problems. And you know, from that, you know, I wouldn't say I brainstormed it, but it just came to me and the writing began.
And everything that you've seen, and you just talked about that, you've certainly seen parents that are pushing kids. You've certainly seen kids that just so desperately want to do well. And then you've seen them go through injuries. And how tough is that for these kids who have this, especially the ones that are so driven and driven by themselves and their parents when they go down, when they have contusions and they can't play and they've got twisted ankles and stuff?
Well, the big thing is... You have, for instance, one of my coaches, you know, he also has a son that, that played with us. And, you know, one day he kind of went down with, we want to say it may have been a concussion, but, you know, first you have to nurture the problem. You can't just be that coach that just wants to win and put the child out there with any kind of injury, wanting them to continue to push. And then it just makes it worse. So, first and foremost, we like to, you know, make sure we're assessing the needs of that child and not putting the game, the win, or just that child's talent. Sometimes you have a child that's just super talented and you want him to get those stats or you want him to get that extra touchdown. So, it puts them up a little bit higher, you know, and of course, it rubs your accolades as a coach, but, you know, it can hurt the child. So, you know, you want to make sure you avoid that, and that's what we do.
Talk about some of your characters in this book, because, you know, you've got the screenplay format, and it really just takes you right in there. Tell us about, like, Tyler and Ladarius and what you can expect as you're reading it.
Okay, so when you see Tyler, he's the villain but also the best friend. You know, he starts off with Ladarius at a very young age and Pop Warner. And Tyler is the athlete. He's the athlete, and Ladarius is that guy that's on the bench that never gets to play. But then an injury takes place, and, you know, Tyler wants to continue to go, but the coach does the right thing. He puts Ladarius in, which nobody's seen the potential that he had. It's like a Tom Brady, you know, when Drew Bledsoe went out and Brady came in, there was never a look back. So in the beginning of this story, you know, Tyler goes out, but Darius comes in, and there's never a look back for season after season of Pop Warner, and then getting into, you know, the high school ball. Ladarius, he kept the drive going and he let it going in, and then Ladarius was faced with a tragic accident that kind of put Tyler back in the driver's seat, which is what Tyler has always wanted. So Tyler was that friend that, you know, he envied the success of Ladarius. So those two characters, they're the ones that you'll see clash a lot in the book. There's other characters like the mom, a therapist, coaches, the different key players that play a major role in the development of athletes, mentally and physically.
Yeah, and specifically we're talking about football. It's interesting. It reminded me in a different way of Friday Night Lights. Was there some influence there? Were you a fan of Friday Night Lights?
Oh, I love Friday Night Lights. it's just that, I don't know if you remember that intro of Friday Night Lights.
Yep.
I just kind of showed, you know, the town and everybody getting ready for the football, which I think that is the most major aspect of football, just that Friday night that everybody's getting ready and nothing's on your mind but good old-fashioned football.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know what? That's been taken away with the situation we're in. How tough do you think that is as someone who has spent their life in and around the game, and now you've written about it and put characters together and put this novel together? How tough do you think that is to be missing what is a core piece of life?
Oh, I think it's major. My son, he's 14 years old, and he finished freshman ball last year, and on a high note, and when I tell you this kid has been training, you know, since being out of school and getting ready for, you know, summer league, and then to have it cut short, you know, again, he was, you know, upset about it, but I told him, this is the time where you train and get better than those that are just sitting around saying, oh, well, football's not going to happen, so no need to train. I said, you know, you train your body, continue to train your body, so that way when they do get the green light, you're more than ready to go. So as an athlete, you have to take this time and develop yourself even more. Like, you don't have those coaches around you, but find someone that knows the aspects of what you're trying to do and ask for help, you know, whether it's training, nutrition, and let them get you in the right spot.
Boy, that's true. Whatever it is, because that's what you have to be doing now. So how'd you come up with the title Wired?
Okay, so Wired, I took two key elements. I took the, I don't know if you remember Michael Keaton, Jack Frost, the
yep.
movie of, he died and come back in the form of a snowman. And then I took the general fact of the NFL and how we, you know, how they communicate with athletes through mics sometimes being wired in their helmet. And, you know, I wanted to make something that was magical as well as, you know, a book showing, you know, life lessons, you know, with athletes. So I took the element of, you know, what would happen, you know, if you brought that element of a loved one that you may have lost into your helmet and you're actually connected with them that way, you know, and not in a physical form. Because, again, you know, Michael Keaton came back as a snowman, so you can actually see, touch, you know, the snowman. But this one, it's just all voice, which it plays a twist, you know, because, you know, when you're reading the book and towards the end, you can wonder, you know, it leaves the mind open. Was he really hearing his father, or was it, you know, was it the people around him that helped, you know, get his mind bent in the right situation? But to take those two elements, you know, the father coming back in a spiritual form, and I might have given away one of the classics, but we'll probably get into that. And the fact that you know, the NFL uses that technology, I think it kind of it gives a good read, and I think everyone will enjoy it.
Yeah, and that's okay to do that, by the way, to give away one of the twists of the book, because you just explained what's the book about in talking about the characters, et cetera, and what you can expect. What do you hope people take away from reading this book? Because there's entertainment in this. There's lessons in it. What do you want someone, if they spend their time reading this, what do you hope they take away from it?
I do hope they take away what a lot of readers have brought back to me, that it's a helpful tool, meaning, again, you know, Ladarius, he does lose his father, who's always been in his corner his entire life of football. And with wanting to spiral out and kind of just give up on football and then all his dreams and hopes, there are these key people in this book, from his girlfriend, from his mother, who he has a battle of really, really wanting to let into his life based on how the accident happened with the father, to coaches, therapists, principals, to everyone that can be involved with the overall direction of an athlete or a student in general. But in this book, it's based on an athlete. You know, these are key people that can help. And the dialogue in there, it's helpful dialogue, and it's dialogue that I know, you know, my athletes have had to go through with those people, the coaches, the principals, the therapists. And if you open yourself up to read this as a parent, you'll see those tools and how you can help. It might not always be you that can help that child. You might have to reach out to a coach, someone that can get through to them. And I think from a youth perspective, a youth reading the book will kind of see the fairy tale of it. Lose my loved one or anything happens, there's endless possibilities of you know, how I can get back on track. So it gives the youth hope, and it gives the adults tools to help the youth.
Perfect place to end this. Tools and entertainment and help, it's all good mixed in between. And you wrote about what you knew, and I think it's powerful when you write about, whether it's a novel, whether it's your truth, whatever it is, but when it's something you know, I think it's that much more impactful. Wired, Edward Galloway, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Author's Corner, really pleased to welcome to the show Carol Wilson Mack. She has such a fascinating background, and she's written a really interesting book called Patchwork, Conversations Between Generations. And it made me think of my favorite quilt, where women had gotten together pieces of my grandfather's life, and it was passed on in my family. And when he left the earth, I got the quilt, and it means so much to me and represents so much. And this book is so deep. It's about those conversations the women were having from 1939 to 1959. That's the setting for the book in South Carolina. So thanks so much for joining us, Carol. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
What drove you to write this? Because of what you saw as a child?
Yeah, from being around my grandmothers and hearing them talk to each other and seeing them interact with the other women, I thought about all of the stories that I heard them sharing, and I said, oh, this would be a good thing to share with others.
And especially that time period. So when we're talking about 1939 to 1959, that was a tumultuous time, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. It really was. You know, there were separations between the races. There were not good interactions. They weren't as positive as we would like them to be. So So that is part of what was going on during that period.
And it was, and the setting is a rural setting in Bamberg, South Carolina. And if we went back to that time period, as you say, it was, there was a big difference between the black and white issues that we're seeing now unfold today, but what was happening there. And in your book, do you talk about those kinds of things that the women had to deal with?
Yes, it touches on it. It touches on it. And one of the women's stories is very much involved in it. And, you know, they touch on dysfunction, sex, jealousy, and death. And one of the stories is a black and white issue. And it's, you know, very well defined in that area. But it's something that actually was happening during that time. You know, where black and white were interacting sexually, but nobody would know it because they kept it secret, that kind of thing. One of the stories is about that. So, yes, it is blatantly mentioned in the patch in one of the women.
Yeah, that's what I like about patchwork, because that's what you talk about. You talk about the real conversations that were happening, and some of them were light and funny and gossipy, and some of them had serious, you know, overtones of what was it like? What happened in a situation where you had someone who was African-American dating or being with someone who was white, etc., because that was a no-no then, certainly, and that's why that was kept secret. But this was the big outlet, because quilting, they could have honest conversations. As a child, you got a chance to really witness this firsthand. Were you kind of underfoot listening to some of the conversations and threading the needle?
I was underfoot, always listening, and sometimes maybe understanding a little bit of what the elders were talking about. But, you know, during that period as a child, you were not allowed to say much. You just listen, you know. We were not, they said, some people were saying, but not those. So we didn't have much to say, but we did hear. And as I thought about doing this, I reflected on many of the stories. So I just put it together. I call it patchwork.
Yeah, the stories that you heard while you were, again, sitting there listening to these women speaking. Did you ever think when you were sitting on that floor that you would grow up to be this fantastic screenwriter and be involved in so many interesting productions, including one on Broadway called Sly Fox that was just huge and got rave reviews and was such an interesting piece of work on Broadway, which now sadly is closed down. Did you think that was something that was going to happen to you?
Okay, I could never have imagined that. I could never have imagined that. Bamberg is a very small town. It's probably about 3,000 people. And, you know, our family was poor. We had very little. So you couldn't think beyond what you're, you know, surrounded with. I definitely couldn't think of Sly Fox. But when I read that play, I loved it so much. And I said, God, I would love to do this play. And I got the opportunity for it. Dad was preparing to do it here in Memphis. And it was supposed to go on stage in May, but because of the virus, we were not able to do the performance.
Yeah, wow, that's, I mean, just, again, just amazing some of the places that you've been taken with your own work. And I can imagine what the women doing patchwork, if they were talking today, would be talking about. There's Carol Wilson Mack. Look what happened. Boy, she went up to New York City, and she was there in Newark, and she had these plays. Who is it? Because people, curious minds would want to know this, because when you ever have brushes with fame or you're in that kind of industry, people want to know more about that. I don't want to say famous, but I guess it could be famous. Who's the most famous actor or, I guess, celebrity that you work with?
Oh, I haven't. There's a lot of, is Alan Craig Harris. He's an actor, and he's
yep.
and Ben Rowe, they're just amazing. They were the leads in Sly Fox, and they actually traveled here to do the Memphis production with me. A lot of people may not have heard of those names, but they're great, great actors.
They're great, great actors. I've heard those names. Look them up, and you certainly know that they're great actors. What do you want people to take away from picking up your book and reading Patchwork, Conversations Between Generations?
I would like them to be involved in interacting with each other. Not just the people from your own generation, but elders and youth interacting and allowing the youth to say, because they too have something to say. Like I say, we're going to be forced to listen to the youth because they have to see the technology, because some of us are having difficulty learning the technology.
Yeah, so, boy, isn't that true? That's true, right? To learn technology, go to the younger people.
Yeah. So wow. Now we're going to have to listen to them, and hopefully yep. They'll listen to us.
Absolutely. So quilters out there, pay attention, because you and I had this conversation off the air. I do think quilting is not a lost art. I think there are people that are still quilting, and that's a good thing to pass down to generations. It'd be sad to see that lost, because there was something about that circle and how rich it was, those conversations. There's no question about it. Once you put this all together, was it exciting for you to see it come alive? I think a book, you sort of give birth to a book. Did it feel like that?
Oh, yes. I was very happy, because you get to a point when you're bringing a group of women together, these characters, when they come together, you often don't know how they will interact with each other. And each of the women's stories were so different. I was, at some point, I was, how will they resolve? And then one of the women was having such a difficult time, and she disappeared from the story. No one knew where she was. But somehow they pulled it together. It's like the characters told me how the story would end. I know that sounds strange, but writers understand that. The characters take a life of their own, and they say to the writer how they want the story.
I like that. It's a perfect place to end this. That means you have a good piece of work when you take a story and the characters, you want to see what happens to them, you watch them, you're seeing their journey, and then you're actually putting it out there for people to be able to read. Patchwork, Conversations Between Generations. Boy, let's keep having those conversations. And you can pick it up on Amazon. Carol Wilson Mack, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.